in this year. There's one of starts in the Sechta. Also, just over Chag, especially since we're having a lot of gaps in Shir. So just, you know, cover ground in the Dapim. We're going to do basically a few topics are coming up. Shir Ksos Va'ona kind of comes up in these Dapim, which is what is the nature of these responsibilities? Okay, one of the things that comes up is why do did I put in the Gemara? I didn't put in this Gemara, but the Gemara says, okay, you know, why does the Mishnah says Tulanisis Liom Haravi, right? Almana Liom Achamishi Shapamayim B'Shabbes Batei Dinim Yoshvim Bayaros. Bezdin sits in the cities twice a week. Yom Sheni B'Yom Chamishi on Mondays and Thursdays. She'im hayalo tanis pesulim hayam mashkim lebezdin. Okay, and if there's he thinks, you know, that she was unfaithful or she misrepresented herself, he'll go to bezdin. Right. So the Gemara says, okay, well, one is, you know, a little bit like why that? Why is that important to us? Number two is why, you know, like what nafkaminos are there to this fact? And the Gemara says, ah, because he's only chayiv in, let's say, mizonos from Wednesday. So let's say they say, okay, they did Erison, and now they're like, oh, we'll do Nisuin in 1 year, right? Because obviously to book a hall and get a band, they didn't have, you know, email back then, so it took a much longer. So to make your guest list and, you know, send out invitations and everything, it took like a year. So they do Erison, and then a year later they do Nisuin. When Wednesday, let's say the year later comes and it's a Sunday, right? So she can say, well, look, you know, you're my husband. Technically, we're already married, and we set 1 year for the Nisuin. You can do Nisuin now, or you cannot do Nisuin now, but you already are chayiv in Mizonos, right? You have to start, you know, start supporting. So is that, so the Gemara says, right, that's only starting from Wednesday, because since he's not allowed to get married to her until Wednesday, so that pushes everything off to Wednesday. And then the Gemara enters the discussion of, you know, what things could be ma'akev the onset of those responsibilities. Okay? And that just sort of is like an opportunity to go into what is the nature of these responsibilities of Sher Ksos Va'ona. You know, are they sort of like inherent in marriage? Are they, you know, part and parcel of Ishus? Are they simply, you know, practical things that, you know, monetary obligations? Are they connected to the relationship between them? Are some of them, yeah, one way and some of them the other, et cetera, et cetera. So when you get into that, Sher and Ksus are food and clothing. Right? His responsibility to provide her with food and clothing. Ona is marital relations. And then the next thing that comes up afterwards is the topic of Ones. Not the like classical Ones, just like something happened and they weren't able to do some sort of tonight. Okay? So let's say they agreed that they're going to get married and then they weren't able to because whatever happened. So the Gemara says, okay, well, you know, what happens when it's nobody's fault, you know, whose problem is it? And then it expands to across the board. So not just in the case of Mizonos here, which by the way, reflects a lot on the question of, you know, is it part of being married? And it kind of just gets delayed till Nisuin because they agreed to that. But fundamentally it's like part of the issue. So if it's an Ones, so then tough luck on him. Or is it something that he like kind of accepts upon himself? And therefore if it's an Ones and it's nobody's fault, so then it's more tough luck on her. Right? What do we do when it's nobody's fault, but like, you know, the things aren't happening that should be happening? It goes into Gittin and says, well, let's say you actually give a get out tonight, but there's an Ones, and therefore you can't fulfill actually be Mekayim the Tanai, right? Is the get still valid? Is it not valid? And that whole topic, how do Tanayim work? Right? And what's the nature of Ones? So those are the topics that we're going to go into. So over Sukkot and the next couple of weeks, when Shir is going to be spotty, those are good things to look into just in the next like daf and a half, two dapim. And really just explore the Rishonim a little bit will be very, very enlightening. So that's a good thing to say. Okay. For today, we're just going to do the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara says, so Rashi already, we'll just go to Rashi. The Gemara gets into all those, but Rashi tries to explain, you know, why do we have this takana? Okay, so Rashi says, "B'shini b'chamishi, achas me'eser takano shetiken Ezra b'ba v'gama perak meruba Nefaris lekulu v'chach tiknu shetinase berevi sheim hayalo tanis pesulim yashkum lebezdin b'od kas olaf. Okay, so Ezra was attacking that Mondays and Thursdays should be bezdin days, right? So everyone will have an opportunity for their day in court, and therefore we're attacking Wednesday, so that the next morning will be Thursday. So if he has a tanis pesulim yashkum lebezdin b'od kas olaf, he'll go to bezdin when he's still angry. And our question is, why is that important to us? It doesn't necessarily seem like the most important thing. We generally don't want people to be angry. Right? So why is it so important for us that, oh, he should remain Bekaso Alav before he... Oh, sorry. Second. Sorry, just actually... Okay. While he's still upset. So Rashi says, V'im yeshaos benatayim yesh lochosh, shama yispayes, and miskayar da'ito. Right? He'll relax. He'll calm down. Via kaimena, right? And he'll actually, you know, stay married will ignore it. Vishema he's in satachtav v'neasrala. Okay. And Rashi says, and maybe she was actually mizana. She cheated on him because, right, they did erison already, so they're already married, and she was mizana tachtav, and so she's usher to him, right? It's usher for them to live together. Okay, all right, maybe that's true. How does it help to go to Beis Din? Yitbarer hadavar. It will be, revealed. Kishyetze hakol shema yavo edim. And when the call goes out, when you know the rumor spread, everyone's gonna be like, oh wow, you know, Plony just went to Beis Din claiming. Pardon? Oh, just background noise. And XYZ happened. So Yisbar Hadavar Kiyishta Hakol Shema Yavo Eidim. Why? Because maybe Eidim will come. We Gemara Parech V'Tinase Be'Echad B'Shabbos. And then the Gemara is going to say, well, why not Sunday? And it says, oh, there's another factor of Shakdu Chachamim Al Takanas Benos Yisrael, that the husband should really be Mashkia 3 days on the Suda, right? He should make a nice wedding and really invest in the celebration, right? It's much, much nicer. And we don't want him to just, you know, wake up on Sunday morning and throw something together. Okay. What's our problem? So Rashi's explanation leaves a lot to be desired, and Tosos pounces. Tosos is like, Sheim hayalo tanis besulim. Im tomar, ha tinach ishas koin, o pchusa mi bas shalosh, the Lake Elachad Sveika, he says, wait a second. Kidamina be Gemara. In the Gemara on Daf Teramad Aleph, the Gemara says that if you have an Ishas Kohen, who's Aser to her husband, even if it was Ones, okay, or Chuzim Bas Gimel, okay, the Gemara is assuming that Besulim would come back or not be, would not go away for under 3 years of age. Okay, I'm not sure biologically what's the story, but the Gemara assumes, right, that let's say Bia under three doesn't affect the Besulim, or long term they'll grow back or whatever, and therefore, right, what it just means for our purposes is, let's say if it was before their marriage, right, then she would still have Besulim, in which case it must have happened after they got married. Okay? So for the Kohen, it's only a question of before or after the Ishas. Chus Mbas Gimel, it's only a question of Ones or Ratzon, because it was Vada after they already married. Okay? For our purposes, let's say he married her, right, I don't know, second she was born. And therefore, it couldn't have been before they got married, because there is no time before they got married. Yeah, Rachel.
I was assuming in that test on Aleph that the Sveika, well, one suffix was his claim at all. Like, his claim is a suffix because we're only relying on his claim. But that doesn't seem
that's
to
part
be
of the Gemara's question, but that's not part of the Sveika. The Gemara kind of one goes, well, you know, we'll look at the Gemara in a second. We'll just deal with that in that, okay? So the point is that Gemara points out that only in these two cases, right? Do we only have one safek? Otherwise, the sharnashim ika svek sveka, right? There's a svek sveka because either it might have happened before they were ever married, right? He says, oh, you know, she doesn't have the sulim. So, okay, could she, before you, the erusin, she could have been with someone. That's, right? That doesn't make her aser to him. Or even if it was after erusin, if it was ones, then she's also not aser to him, right? Unless he's a kohen. So amaytinasid liom dalid. Okay, so Tosos asks, wait a second. Right? The Gemara and Daftes says that even if he's right, that there's sinus basulim, right? At the end of the day, right, it's a svek sveka. Because we don't know when it happened, and we don't know about the nature of what happened, right? Both of which would be reasons that she might be mutter, in which case there's no problem here, in which case we can just ignore this fact, right? So why do we have to be metakin that all everyone gets married on Wednesday? Okay, so what does Rabbeinu Tam say? Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Dilo pug rabbanan pitakanta, Mishom eishes kohen uphus migimol tiknu b'chol hanashim sheinasu b'yom dalid. Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam says, oh, really, you're right. You're totally right. Okay, this Mishnah is, you know, the fact that they all get married on Wednesday because of, because, you know, even though it should be totally fine, right? We have a sex feka. Okay, we're going to get into sex feka later. Right, if you have a sex feka, so what's the problem? So it says Rabbeinu Tam, you're right. There is no problem. We wouldn't make such a takana under those circumstances, but there's a small group of subpopulation that this does matter for, right? And we make a low plug, okay? Now, low plugs usually rankle the, really? Like, really we're going to make a low plug? Right? We're just going to, like, blanket things across everybody, you know, for no good reason, or just because, you know, just, like, makes everyone else's life hard and miserable. But actually just thinking in this context, it's not so crazy because we kind of do something very similar with Zman Hazeh. What low plug do we encourage is Zmaneinu right off the bat? We say, we tell people to do when they get married, right? As a low plug. Some must have worked for them. No.
But that's not a halachic, okay, ora or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's not a halachic chiyuv at all. You don't have a chiyuv to get a prenup.
I don't want to go on the record. I'm on the record right now because it's being recorded. But I don't want to go on the record and say that it's not a chiyuv because I've heard Rabbanim say that it is a chiyuv, right? That they wouldn't be Masada Kiddush in a wedding without one. So I'm not totally sure that Rachel is correct here where she says that it's not a halachic requirement. But
there are so many countries where there isn't one. There isn't a legally enforceable prenup. So what are you going to say, that people in our countries can't get married at all? Like,
that's a good little plug. People in countries where you can't enforce a prenup, it's, you know, shouldn't get married. It's not bad. It's a good, it's a legitimate argument.
For a plug, nobody should get married at all then.
In Israel, you should know, there are people in Israel who make that argument. They say, because, you know, the Rabbanut keeps messing everything up, we just make a little plug and no one should get, you know, should get married, and then the Rabbanut can't mess anybody over. So people make those arguments. But sometimes it gets a little extreme. But I think that's just a good example. This is from the President of America's prenup website, and their first thing is what is right. People follow the examples of others. So even if you're sure the plight of the aguna, it's in the parentheses, will never be your own, you should sign the prenup as part of an effort to make the prenup a standard part of every Jewish wedding. If our collective actions could bring that about, we'll have played an important role in solving one of the great crises of Jewish life in modern times and prevent other people from suffering. So the idea that, you know, there's some sort of ishos case that would come up where, you know, there's an important halachic issue at hand, but it's, you're right, it's not really applicable to you. We could still have this idea of saying, okay, we'll still apply a low plug and apply it across the board so that in the cases where it is relevant, right, it's, it'll be in place and help solve those issues, even though it's, you know, it's kind of a little bit annoying for everybody else to have to do. So that's, I think it is an important value to remember that even though low plug in many ways is not a very satisfying answer, a lot of times it is an important one and a relevant one. Just since we're talking about the prenup anyway, I thought these other points connected back to like our Ksiva discussion previously. He also talks about the idea of a pragmatic document that at the end of the day, you know, even assuming everyone's going to behave appropriately, right, there's like a certain value in taking things off the table, even if they're not going to be used, right? So, again, I guess like this is like a little bit of a lahav deal, but, you know, like the idea of like, oh, you could use nuclear weapons, right? Or like there is such a thing as like tactical nuclear weapons is changes or adds like a level of, you know, of danger or mistrust, even if no one's threatening to use it, because it could be used. So it's important to sort of, you know, acknowledge that certain things are off the board, even if you're not gonna abuse it. But then their third thing, right, kind of ties into the Ksiva, and I think they phrase this very well, which is that, you know, part of the demonstration of respect is to say that, you know, they're going to act respectfully to each other, not just because they love each other, but even if they decide that they don't, right, they're like committing to like a certain like human respect between them, even if their marriage falls apart. So I thought that's like a very, very like ties nicely into our discussion about Ksiva. Ksiva, right, we saw is different than that, because Ksiva is really about commitment to the marriage. But the prenup, I think the way they put it here is very nice. It's the idea it's not necessarily a commitment to the marriage, but it's like a commitment to respecting each other just as people, independent of the marriage. Like Ksiva very much is different in that it's a function of respect to their relationship and to the marriage between them. But the prenup is like a step before that or step out of that, just as like a personal interpersonal human respect. So anyway, I think that is a good, this is just a good point that, you know, even though the low plug is not a very satisfying answer, sometimes it's a very important one. Okay. Moving right along, definitely that's not what Rashi is going for, right? B'kutras pireish, shemitoch kach yitbarer hadavar, v'yavo idim shezinza b'ratza, v'kasha le'pirusha. Right? He tells us, wait a second, I don't get Rashi's opinion for a few reasons. Damrina b'gemara, Amar Abaya, afana nami tanina, ha'omer pesach pasuach matzasi, ne'mon lo'osra lav. Because why? Besulan is safely Yom Harvi, so that he can go to Bezdin. My love, the katan pesach basura. Vahashta hechi maisi raya l'perisha kontras. According to Rashi, how can Abaya bring our Mishnah as a proof that he's believed? Because afagav de eno naman, even if he wasn't believed, mikomakom yashkim lebezdin, right? He should still go to Bezdin. Shemitoch kachi yitzeh hakol v'yavo eidin v'yitbareh hadavar. Right? Why can Abaya says that our Mishnah proves that if he claims this, we believe him? Maybe we don't believe him, but we still want him to go to Bezdin and be Mevarer. Right? So he says, answers, V'yesh lomar, delo maisi Abaya raya l'Rabbi Elazar, ela shehu baki u'makir imu pesach pasuach. Din eno baki lo yitzeh hakov lo yavu l'idei biru. He says, no. Because at the end of the day, if we don't think that he knows what he's talking about, then we would ignore him. Right? And even on a practical level, no one's going to take him seriously if we don't believe that what he claims to be the physical reality is actually true. Right? Kiyomar shehuta, v'savur matza pasach suach v'eno kein. V'lo yachushu l'dvar. Okay, so he says, okay, well, at least, right, if we really don't believe him, or if what he's saying is irrelevant, there'd be no value in sending him to Beth Din. Okay, now Tosos emphasizes like a more practical side, which is, well, because no one, right, it's not even going to make the news. And if, right, if someone has no credibility, so it doesn't even make the news that they claim XYZ because they just don't have any credibility anymore. You could also argue that if we don't really believe him, even if people would come to Beis Din, we wouldn't want him to come to Beis Din. Why? Because we don't believe him, right? I mean, it's one thing to say, ah, but maybe if we put it on the news, we can get Eden, right? We don't want to put it on the news if we don't really believe him. Right? Tosfos is sort of saying, well, it'd be irrelevant because he wouldn't even make the news, right? But we could argue further that we wouldn't even want him to come to Beis Din if we didn't think that he actually knew what he was talking about, right? Our whole assumption, and I think this is also important in this situation, is that he knows what he's talking about physically, right? She has been presented as, she's saying, oh, I'm Basula, and then he's saying, well, you're not, right? So there is something that leads us to, or leads him to have doubts. If we don't really think that he knows what he's talking about physically, right, then Pashas, we should ignore him, right? We should tell him, like, we don't know what you're talking about, so you can't, you know, you shouldn't be mad on her Cheskas Kashras and go away. Okay, Odi Yishlomar. The Gamal Perisha Kuntris, so Tosa says, well, wait a second. Tosa is still bothered by something, which is, it's very nice that maybe practically Eden might come, right? But the point we just made was, well, you know, let's say we didn't believe him and there was no time to pursue him, right? Should we still say, oh, you know, if anyone knows of a reason why these two should not be joined in holy matrimony, speak now or forever hold your peace, right? We don't say that at a wedding. Right? Why? Because we assume, right? They're both the Cheskas Kashras, and we don't know of any reason. We don't go. We're not asking someone to come and be Mavarer if we don't have a Chashash. Right? So why is Rashi telling us, or why is the Gemara telling us? According to Rabbeinu Tam, our answer was, well, it's not really for regular cases. It's only in cases where there's a Tanis Pesach Masuach, and it's a Ishas Kohen. So there's one suffix, so there's actually a suffix Doraisa l'chumra problem, right? But according to Rashi, where we're just doing it because just in case, right? Why would we do this just in case? We don't just in case unless there's a reason for it, right? So v'od yesh lomar, the gala perisha kuntras lo hayu metaknim shetei nises liyom dalid mishum shema yizbara yidei edim aval kivan de beishas kohen u'pchus mibas gimel denem al ostra lav tiknu shetei nises b'revi'i. So says Tosos, kind of a little bit similar to what he was saying before, that it's right, it's based on the case of the Ishas Kohen, where the Taino really would be halachically relevant. But because of that, right, we are also doing using it as a benefit for these other cases, right? Or basically, we have to worry about it in the case of Ashes Kohen. Because we have to worry about it, Ashes Kohen, we kind of said, okay, well, once we're already making, you know, telling everyone, some people to get married on Wednesday, so let's also just have everyone do it. And even though it's not, you know, necessary, it's still, you know, useful because we can be Mavarer Ayde'id. Okay, that kind of points, Tosos points towards, let's say, a Beis Din-centric perspective on this, which is, once we're dealing with this, right, so Beis Din kind of has this job of defending, you know, the public morality, I guess we'll call it. That is actually one of Beis Din's jobs. And because that's part of Beis Din's job, so here they'll, you know, kind of use it as an opportunity to be mevarer, right, the situation. Okay, we must need to be Cohen, we must gimel, right? Neman lo Sralov. Okay. Right, therefore, our Mishnah is a clear proof for Abaya that he is Neman in the case of, let's say, Ishes Cohen. We really believe him, and therefore Ishes Cohen should be Aser, right? Because that's really where it's all coming from. We believe him, therefore Ishes Cohen is Aser, and then we kind of extended it to everybody else because Beis Din has this job of, you know, once they're already getting involved, so they should also be mevayer this case, right? Sacha Kol Tosfos leaves Rashi as a big question mark, right? Rashi doesn't come out very, very satisfying. And Tosfos just throws in another question on Rashi, which is Vatima. I still don't get it though, right? because as I very poorly explained a second ago, right, and I admit that I did a poor job because it is a poor job, and Tosa thinks it's a poor job too. What is, let's say there's this Besdin value of, you know, guarding public morality, right? Besdin doesn't have, you know, it doesn't go around like interrogating people for no reason, right? We don't, right? There has to be some sort of reason or some sort of chashash. Then Besdin can say, okay, well, we are responsible. We have an achrayus to take care of this or to take note of this. That only works, right, once Besdin has some reason to be involved. The tema, the hacha mashma, the mishim chashash znos tikkun, right, that they're choshish for znos, they're choshish that she committed adultery. Shetei nisyes berevi, beperek beiz zigitin, ikon man damar de tikkun zman begitin mishim peiri, ava mishim shem yechap al basa choso lo chashinan, mishim diznos lo shkeach. Okay, we're not going to get into the exact case, but the important point is that the Gemara there says that we wouldn't make a takana because we're worried that someone that someone's going to commit adultery, because that's uncommon, right? Zus lo shchiach, and therefore we don't make takanos, right? Just in case, you know, a case of adultery happens, because it's not common, and we don't suspect people of that. The yishlomar the hasam kaamar zinos asliday misa dahinu ba'asra be'idim lo shchiach. Well, maybe that's only because we don't worry about cases where, like, there are Edim and Hasra, right? That, you know, you can get Mises Bezdin for it. You have to do it by Edim and Basra. But, you know, maybe does happen. Inami. Hacha. Now, this is a very different perspective. Inami hacha. Shalot teshev imo be'isr kol yamav. Chashu afilu luznos af agav delo shkiach. Now, Tosa says, okay, really, it's not connected to any of that. What really is the issue, or really why we make this takana, is because they're just getting married, right? And now he has this chashash that she was mezaneh and she's usher to him, right? And now their whole marriage, right? She might really be usher to him, right? Midin sota, that she, right, cheated on him. So she, right? Shelo teishin imo be'isr kol yamav chashu afilu lizno safagav zol shchiach. So for that, right, that they're worried, they're willing to be choshesh and make this takana to mevarer, because, you know, that's like a much bigger stakes, right? So it's uncommon, but like I say, the stakes are higher. Okay. Now again, that at least starts making more sense, right? Or starts fitting a little bit better in the sense that we're admitting that the level of chashash is very low and independently doesn't warrant. There's some sort of external value that's coming in, right? Which is okay, but their whole marriage is going to be be'isser, right? So that we want to be mevat. Okay. Now, what I guess is still a little bit problematic here is, you know, how effective is this biur? Right? Let's say, okay, we want to be mevayer and we have a beirur somewhere, or we could maybe do a beirur, but how effective is this, you know, yashim lebezdin going to be? Right? Number one. Number two, right, is how much are we really choshesh here? Right, as Tosos kept pointing out. If we look back at the Gemara and Daftet, right, it says, and now it's, Rachel, you can ask when remind you of your question in a moment. Homer Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, Neman Lo Osralav. So you say, Amai, Sfek Sveikahu, Safek Tachtav, Safek Ein Tachtav. Vim Tim Salomar Tachtav, Safek Baones, Safek Baratzim. And there are two Sveikos, and we know that Sfek Sveika is Mutter. So the Gemara says, oh, right, Lo Tzricha, Beishis Kohen, Beibas Ema Beishis Yisrael, Ukagon de Kabil Bavu, Akidushin Pchut Matkim of Yomecha. Okay, my kamash malan. Tanina omer liisha kidashtich, vi omer is lo kidashtani. Kim uteres bekrova, vu aser bekrovota. Mao detema hasam divada kimle, hacha makeam hudlo, kimle kamash malan. He says, wait a second. If he says, I know that I married to you, right? And she says, no, we never got married. I don't know who you are, right? So he is able to be shavya nafsha chaticha di isura. And he claims that he's usher to someone or something. So he can't marry her relatives, right? Because they're, right? It's the sister of his ex-wife or sister of his wife, or sister, you know, mother of his wife. But she is totally allowed to marry whoever she wants because she denies that it ever happened, and there's no evidence that it ever happened, right? So he can make trouble for himself, but he can't make trouble for her, right? So in this case, he says, oh, you know, I think you cheated on me. I know you cheated on me. And she says, nah. So she's fine, right? But he, right, is able to make trouble for himself. But, says the Gemara, right, we would have thought, or we might have thought, that here, we just don't believe him. We don't trust him in the sense that he's a competent judge of the issue, right? If he says he knows something, so then we say, okay, shavin af shechaticha disura, and tzaser, right? But here, we just think that he's mistaken, or we might have thought that he's mistaken, okay? That's like a little bit of a side point. But the point is, there's a sfek sfeika. How does sfek sfeika work? Okay? Because this has huge implications for Rashi, right? At the end of the day,
need the sfeikot to stack up.
So we need the sfeikot to either, well, what do you mean by that is tricky, but yes, right? Well, that's actually a question. We'll try to do the sugya of sfek sfeika, but
have we done it before?
No,
I think we
did, like in previous years.
I've done it before. I thought it was here.
It could be. It's like one of those sugyas that's super awesome and fun. So you just kind of try to, if it comes up, it's fun to do.
Okay.
I don't think it's come up, but it could have, or I could have made it come up. That's always possible also. So there's a bunch of different sheets on sfek sfeika. We'll try to do it like a little more b'iyun at some point. But one approach to sfek sfeika is, or I'd say like the three basic ones. I even put it in. Great. So the Rajba says, here's the Shela, right? Shalta od sex feka. De kaima lan de mutter. Im no markena fil be makom dis chazik yisura ola. You want to know, the questioner, wanted to know if, let's say, there's a chazaka that something is aser, and then there's a sex feka that it might be mutter. Is it mutter or not? Now that's very tricky. Why? Because once something is muhsak as aser, right, you need proof that it became mutter, right? Does a sfek sfeika help you in that? Im tomar mutter, ma nasa los shamru perak b'chom arvin, nafilu b'sfeika derabanan, hecha dischazik yisura azlinan l'chumra. Because whenever there's even by a sfek derabanan, would normally say sfek derabanan l'kula, if it's dischazik yisura, if it's muhsak that it's aser, which would be, we're azlinan l'chumra. Vim tomar aser, terotzli hadarmin parakama dixivus to kill sfek sfeika mirov. The rov inomatir biyuchsin, the sfek sfeika is matir. And we know that a sfek sfeika is better than a rov in some sense, because a rov by yichus is still a safek and, right, can't marry certain people, but a sfek sfeika is matir legamri and can marry anyone. Ubishchita matir knisbahi, the matza gdevitur shchutin. Because we assume that the person who's doing shchita is competent, because otherwise, why is he doing shchita? Okay. Moral of the story is, right, what's the status of sfek sfeika? So the Rajba responds, Tedelcha, da sfek sfeika adai adif mikarov. Ve'efshar da aldim hetero yosem mirov. Okay. So some people are medayik from this Rajba that the Rajba is saying that sfek sfeika is essentially a rov. Right? Why? Because he says it's like a rove, right? You have a safek. The first safek is 50-50. The second safek is 50-50. 50% of 50% is 25%, meaning the iser is only a 25% conceptual chance, right? Because it's a 50-50 safek. Honest 50-50% suffix, in which case it's 3/4 in favor of heter, right? And 1/4 in favor of iser. Okay. Now that's one way to take the Rajba. Okay, this is really regalachas. But if sfek sfeika is essentially a rove, so what are we saying? We're saying, okay, we have one suffix, that gives me 50%. And then I have another suffix, even if it's one of them, right? So then it could also be the other. Even if Safik Baratzon, Safik Bones, and even if it was a Baratzon, it could have been before they were even married, right? So it's only a quarter, it's only half of the conceptual half of the Safik. Now, if that's true, okay, then there's still kind of is a Safik, right? It just, Rove says that it's fine. The other approach, another approach is that of the Shev Shmaitza, at least according to the way he understands the Rambam. He says, the Rambam says that Isser Kolas Fikos Kulam Bidivrei Sofrim. Okay, any Safik is only Darabana, meaning Safik Daraisa, L'chumra is a Din Darabana. Okay, because a Safik Midaraisa is Mutter. Now, what does that mean then? A Safik Daraisa is Mutter. Darabanan, it's L'chumra. What's a Safik Darabanan then? So Safik Darabanan is a Safik, and there's no Din Darabanan that Safik Darabanan is L'chumra, right? So it's Mutter. And that's why Safik Darabanan is L'kula, and Midarabanan, Safik Daraisa is L'chumra. Says the Shev Shmaitza, what's a Sfek Sfeika then? Got to do the math.
The Safek Daraisa is the Darabanan, Safek Darabanan is then nothing.
Exactly, right? So the Daraisa is a Daraisa. Safek Daraisa is a Darabanan, right? A Safek Daraisa is a Safek Darabanan. And says the Shev Shmaitza, do the math, and that comes out to Safek Darabanan Lakula, right? The third approach is to say, if you look at the Rajba, he didn't say that it's a rove, right? He says it's better than a rove, right? He actually said it works better than a rove because, and the reason theoretically why, and this is what the Rav Soloveitchik explains, is that Sfek Sfeika basically means that there's no Sfek at all, or there's nothing, no Lidas HaSfek. And that's kind of what we've been struggling with in Tosfos, right? In order for us to be bothered by something, we need to be worried. There needs to be something that tells us, you know, to keep an eye out. Sfek Sfeika, right, says we have a suffix about whether or not there's a suffix. So if you have a suffix about something, then you have to be nervous about it, right? You have to think about it. If you have a suffix about whether you need or not you need to be nervous about it, so then you're like, okay, tell me whether or not I need to be worried about it, and then I'll deal with it, right? I don't need to worry about something until I need to worry about it. I don't need to worry that maybe I need to worry about something, right? Or you shouldn't, right? There are lots of things where there's no leidas hasafek, where we're just not worried about it, right? Is it like a conceptually, you know, can you get hit by a comet? Like, yeah, you could, right? But, you know, tell me that there's a comet coming to, like, you know, that's going to hit Earth. Right? Or going to pass near Earth and then say, okay, well, maybe it'll hit me. Right? But if I don't know that there's a comet, I don't need to worry about whether or not it's going to hit us. Yeah, Rachel, I hope you're not worried about comets all the time. Then that's a bad example. I apologize.
So are we saying now that the suffix fake up part of that is that it's not common? Because that wasn't what Tosfos was quoting.
No. I'm saying the Rav, what Rav Soloveitchik says about Sfek Sfeika, and he thinks is really what the Rajba here is kind of saying, is that when you have a Sfek Sfeika, it says that you're not even, it's not just that we're, that it's not common, right? Or that it's like a miut, because you have like a double, you have like a 50-50 and then a 50-50 on the 50-50. Right? It's that you have a suffix whether or not you need to be worried at all, in which case you're not actually worried. Right? No one's told you, right? Or the circumstances haven't told you that you need to be on the lookout. Right? And that gets us back to our issue with Tosus's answers for Rashi, which is at the end of the day, right? Why is it that we are making this takana to be tochach ite akovis bar hadavar yadei idin? Why are we trying to be mavara anything if there's a Sfek Sfeika? Right? So now we have two options. We could say, well, maybe a Sveksvika, right, is still a suffix, right? It's a rove, let's say, in which case rove options point towards there not being any halachic isser here, but there's still a miut that says, well, maybe there is, in which case, right, Rashi, you know, you could say, oh, well, Rashi seems to be, you know, it's going to say that there's still a miut, even though it's a sveksveka lakula, and therefore, you still need to worry about it, and in that small percentage, or that, you know, meaningful percentage, is still enough that even though it's not enough to be oser, it's enough that Bezdin, let's say, wants to be mavar, or the Rabban argument attacking that, you know, shema yetzei hakol, right? If you think that svek sveka is a suffik, it turns the suffik daraisa into suffik darabana and then suffik darabana lakula. So again, we could say, you know, once really they're being attacking because of Ashes Kohen, but once they're being attacking because of Ashes Kohen, so they're also attacking across the board. Okay? That works. Okay? If, right, however, you want to take this either this third approach, or you want to say that Svek Sveka is something that there's just no loydes of safek, which I think, by the way, is the most compelling approach to Svek Sveka, right? Because Svek Sveka is really just treated as like Heter Gamor. And I think the answer is, the real reason is because we're just not worried, right? In order for us to be choshesh, right, for something, we need to really think that there's a safek, there's a chashash, right? Something needs to, trigger our antenna. But by Svek Sveka, nothing's actually managed to trigger our antenna yet. So what's pshat with Rashi, right? If we look at Rashi again, right, Rashi is very yishos beinatayni yishlocho shem yispais v'yiskaradayto v'yikaimena v'shema hizimzatachta v'nasralav, right? Umitoch sheyavu lebezdin yisbar hadavar kishayitze hakol. So if I ended it right here, I would say, okay, well, maybe the answer is that, you know, Rashi thinks that it's a suffix, that Svek Sveka is still a suffix. Therefore, you need a mimavar. But then Rashi continues, he says, right, yitzi hakol, shema yavo eidin. Right? We just got through kvetching, right? Like, well, maybe there's like some sort of suffix that, you know, either the Rabbanon have an interest in mimavar or wants a mimavar. Other things they want to mimavar it, right? But all of that asks, why do we want to be mavar in the first place? There's no slush chiyach, it's a svek sveka, maybe there's no latest safek even, right? So we tried to come up with reasons why we might anyway. Right? But then Rashi kind of ruins it, or not, by saying, he doesn't say that, oh, it'll be mavarer, right? It's shema yavo eidim. Right? It's like, and then maybe eidim will come. After all of that, right, it's such a chasha as shrachot, right? Halachically, you're not chayv to mevarer. And even the beirur is just, what are we accomplishing with the shema yavo eidim, right? It's almost like there's like a svek sveka. There's a svek sveka whether there's a problem. And then there's a svek sveka, he'll go to Bezdin, right? And if he goes to Bezdin, shema yavo eidim, right? It just sounds very, very, very tenuous. Right? Rashi even intentionally makes it tenuous. Right? If we look back at Tosfos, at least Tosfos kind of like, you know, tried to give Rashi the benefit of the doubt of like, you know, inami hachashlo teshit imo be'isr kol yimei chayav chashu afilu lizno safa gavdu lo shchiyach. Right? Tosfos makes it sound like, here it's really lo shchiyach, but since it's, you know, marriage, they're going to spend their whole marriage be'isr, therefore we send that, you know, we want to be mevaret. Right? But that only works if we actually are going to be mevare, right? Rashi's like, and like shema be mevare, right? So it's very tenuous. How do we answer Rashi? So my father had a really like fascinating point that in a Hanami, right? What are we trying to accomplish? Until now, we've been looking at two questions or two options for why this matters. The Isser, right? Are they mutter to each other? Or number two, right? Seems like an interest of Bezdin of, you know, making sure that she wasn't Mizan. right? Let's flip it and think about the fact that we're dealing with Maseches Ksuvos, number one. Number two is, what's the other part of the Takana that they should get married on Wednesday? Why is it Wednesday, not Sunday?
So that he prepares the Duda for 3 days.
Right. Right. Shak Duda, all right. Chachamim al-Bnos Yisrael. The Rishonim have a big machlokas. Which one's the Ikar? Which one triggered which? Right. I'm trying to remember which one, who says what, but like the Ran and the Ramban debate is that really there's Takana Shakdu. And then they decided, you know, that it's got to be Dafka, that really it's because of the food and they should prepare it. And then they said, oh, let's also do it Wednesday. So there's also the Bezdin plus, or the Ramban says, no, the opposite. Really, it's about the Bezdin. But then separately, then they're like, oh, we'll also do the food. And then they moved it from Sunday to Wednesday. Or they said Wednesday, not Sunday. Okay. And other Rishonim say, oh no, the two are just like totally intertwined. It's just like one takana, right? That like they want Shaktu plus Sheyashkim Lebezdin. How do those two go together? So he pointed out, right, that if you get inside of their head, what happened? Here's a Chasan and a Kala, right? They just get married. And he thinks that she was either she misrepresented herself or she was unfaithful to him at the very beginning of their marriage. Right? So you have two options. It's not just a question of, oh, maybe we'll be able to prove that, right? He might sweep it under the rug, right? But then for the next 40 years, right, in the back of his head, right, and every time, I don't know, he's grumpy or feels, you know, like he's working too hard, he's going to be like, I think she was Mizana. I think she cheated on me, you know, after Erison. Right? So if he sweeps it under the rug, what does that do to the Kedushas Ishas? Right? What does that do to the standards that we have for what we expect both their relationship and the Kedusha of their relationship to be? Right? If he is really Choshesh her, right, and Choshed her, then we want, you know, not necessarily Sheyavo Eidim V'Yizbarer, right? But Yetzeyakol Shema Yavo Eidim. We want to be sure that it's dealt with, not so only, or not just, or not even primarily, because we want to get Eidim, but we want that if there are Eidim, right, or we want them to know that we've been mavara this to the extent possible, right, and either deal with it or say, look, we looked into it, we checked, right, there's no evidence, and you guys can go on and have a happy marriage, and we put this behind you. And I think that's a fascinating idea, right? Because otherwise, Tosa's questions are really, really like, you know, very, very difficult for Rashi to overcome or to make sense of, right? Why are we being attacking that all marriages to start on Wednesday so that they can go to Beis Din afterwards, you know, for this very, very spek sfeika chashash rachok that you would never, almost never be able to prove, right? But the answer is that we're not actually trying to, Pashas, we're not trying to move out of it and we're not trying to check it, right? What we're trying to do is make sure that it gets taken care of so that they can move on from it. And if it's really about them moving on from it, then it makes sense why, you're right, it's only Shema Yavo Eidim. But we want him to know that if there were Eidim, you know, we would have found them, right? If there was, you know, if there was any evidence of what you're worried about, you know, we investigated. Right. And now you can move on and put it behind you. Because if you sweep it under the rug, then what happens? Right. Then it stays with them forever. I think it's like a fascinating idea that ultimately a lot of the things that we do, right, are not only, you know, purely halachic. Right? This is not a purely halachic concern. Right? In large part, this is really a psychological concern. Right? This is a concern about the welfare of their relationship and of the kedusha of their marriage that should be based on the right, you know, in the right context. And that's reflected in halacha. It's reflected in halachic values, but it's not like, oh, halachically you're chayiv to do this because we have, you know, these chashashos, but really because we need to set it on the right type of footing. Yeah, Tehila.
So I mean, maybe this should be saved for the end, but like, as nice as the sentiment is, and I, as much as I like the idea of going into a marriage with Kedusha, I think it, you know, the whole idea of declaring that she may not be a Betula and going to baking and making a whole scene is also an interesting way to start a marriage.
It is. It definitely wouldn't be pleasant, right? Which is also why what normally would happen is you sweep it under the rug. But then what do you have? Right? Then you have a marriage that's built on mistrust.
Right. So I'm not saying that, okay, yes. And the second part of that is like, why they're really like running to Beit Din while he's still hot-headed? Because I have a feeling that if people got married on Tuesday and they had 24 hours to think about it, the Edim would still be very available. And if he still had a decent amount of stuff, like at that point, Beit Din would hear him out.
No, that's the point. We don't think there actually are going to be Edim. That's exactly the point, right? We think, first of all, there are two points. One is, the Gemara brings this up, which is, wait a second, do we know that he really knows what he's talking about? Right? Because if we didn't think that 100% that he really knows, right, that she really is did either misrepresent herself or, right, she actually right, either was Mizane or is Nansa, right? And very possibly she just doesn't want to admit that because, right, it's just something that people, you know, are very traumatized by and don't necessarily want to bring up. And even like Bismaninu, it's like, you know, it's only recently that it's being encouraged that, you know, she even just like reporting it to the police is not a posh thing that people will actually do. The idea that if we know, he knows 100%, right? And this is the Gemara discusses this. Do we really know that he knows? But assuming that he really knows, right, that she said she's a Basula and she's actually not a Basula, right? Right? So something is up. Halachically, she is probably not usher to him, right? That's what we've seen in Tosos. Now we saw the Gemara Daf test. Halachically, she's definitely mutter to him, right? In a normal case, she's definitely mutter to him. Halachically, we can ignore it, right? But she actually is not a Basula and she says she was, right? That's the circumstances. If we didn't think that he really knew what he was talking about, so we would discourage this, right? But the whole point is that we believe that he does know what he's talking about, right? In which case, she said she's a Basula. She's not, right? So we could sweep that on, he could sweep that under the rug, right? But at the end of the day, he's always going to be Choshesh that, you know, she was Mizane. Unless, right, we give it due process right off the bat. And you're right that it's not necessarily pleasant to start off marriage with, you know, with this. On the other hand, right, it's much worse, but it's a down point. It definitely starts you off on an unpleasant point. But at the end of the day, right, it's definitely better to not sweep it under the rug, right, and let it come out, you know, 20 years later when they're, you know, filing for divorce, or 10 years later, let's say. Right, because they don't trust each other, and he doesn't trust her, right? And he, you know, and it's been gnawing at the back of his head for the last 20 years, unless it was 10 years in the second scenario, right? So I think you're right. I mean, you're saying, well, wait a second, we don't know if he even knows what he's talking about. If he does, though, which is the Gemara, right, talks about, it says, yeah, right, this is all assuming that he absolutely is correct in telling us the truth about the Metzias, then it's absolutely something that should be taken care of. And even if taking care of it just means he goes to Bezdin, he says, you know, Bezdin, this is, you know, this is the situation. And they say, you know, we didn't find any Edim. We haven't found any evidence of wrongdoing. You guys can now have a happy marriage, right? That sets them up for much better and more kadosh marriage than if they have no idea if, you know, if something really happened, or if there might be Edim, you know, who just, no one's ever asked for. Your satisfying answer or still not?
I think so. Are we going to go further into why we assume that he does know what he's talking about?
It comes up in the Gemara. It comes up on, I think, Daf Kimmel, Daf Talit. So yeah, I think it'll come up. If not, we'll definitely go over it, like glance through it in the Gemara. Yeah, Rachel.
Sorry about that. This discussion, though, we still have the suffix sveika in existence. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't get rid of it. Nope. So now we're just sort of explaining why we should take a suffix sveika seriously.
No, I think the answer is that halachically, right, especially if you take the Rav's, you know, the way the Rav explains the Rishonim, sveik sveika, basically, there is no suffix, halachically speaking, right? I mean, there's no legal doubt. Legally, we have no problems. We can go to sleep at night and in the morning, you know, we could just sleep through the day. And Beis Din could literally just, like, you know, I don't know. I can just have this mental image of, like, three rabbis with huge beards who are really old, just, like, drowsing off on, like, one of those pliths where, you know, where judges are supposed to sit. Okay, they're able to sleep through the whole thing. They're not the point. They're not bothered at all. Halacha's not bothered at all, right? Our point is that it's a sfek sveika, so halacha is, like, totally not bothered by this whole situation, right? It doesn't raise our antenna. It doesn't trigger our sensors at all. But for the husband, right, who is saying, well, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, and I think she might have cheated on me, right? The fact that technically there's no halachic issues here that need to be dealt with, right, doesn't take away from the fact that he is choshesh that his wife cheated on him, right? So if we can resolve that, if he could go to Beis Din and say, okay, you know, we checked, right? We did due diligence and we investigated the matter. And we have found no evidence for that, right? And we acquit her of all, you know, of all charges or whatever, right? Even if it's for lack of evidence, at the end of the day, case is closed, right? And there's a huge difference between leaving it, you know, at least for him, case open or case closed, even though, right, we didn't need to take the case in the first part.
Right. So just for, right, it just seems still, I guess, odd, I don't know what word to use, that we're so concerned about this one-off superstitious husband who wants to.
Well, he's not superstitious, right? His wife,
right.
He knows. And she's not, right? There's something fishy going on, right? You have to remember that. She says she's a basula and she's not.
But to make every marriage on a Wednesday is kind of under the assumption that. Or, right, we're doing a little plug, and it's for a small...
I mean, it doesn't have to be that uncommon, right? It's, you know, that's already not so crazy. But it's to say, look, if, you know, these things happen, and when they do, right, whatever is the reason is that it happened, right, we want to have it dealt with, and we want to have it dealt with right away so that they can move on.
Mm-hmm. So that, right, that meta-halachic consideration... I would still rather go with Halacha's analysis because of the distastefulness of assuming people are not betulot or whatever he knows. Right. He knows he's not a betula, which I guess I have a hard time.
Right. That part, and you have to leave that on the side of whether or not.
Right. We have to assume, like, that he knows.
Gemara also deals with that a little bit, which is like, well, right. It's not always true that you can tell or that it's whatever. But assuming, right. Just assuming that the circumstances are such, then I think it, you know, then it makes a lot of sense, right? That's a huge red flag, right? That something's up, right? Even if our investigation, if Beis Din's investigation, right, is very unlikely to yield anything useful, right, it's still better to have it dealt with now than just have it hang.
I feel like it's such a red flag, like, for to have a guy who... If he's such a bucky in terms of, like, if a woman is a basula or not, like, that implies he himself isn't, like, presumably he has been with other women, right? So such a guy to be so makpid on his color, like, that's a red flag concerning the guy, I would say.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know how much we're assuming that's because he's, you know, has he been with other people or stam? It's just like, oh, it's like an obvious. I'm saying, let's say biologically, we're assuming that it's a very obvious and easy thing to know, right? Or, yeah, let's say he's, you know, he's been previously married. I don't know, his wife died of the plague, you know, something tragic, corona, something. And then, you know, he's getting remarried, right? And then he's like, wait a second, right? Something's fishy going on. You lied to me. And she really did.
But have other wives.
Why does...
Pardon?
He can have other wives.
I mean, that's very uncommon. Like,
right, but it's like not impossible. It's
possible. I'm just saying that if... well, we can also just assume that it's like a very physically obvious, you know, Matthias. Again, it's not like the facts of the issue is that, you know, it's biologically, it's very diverse. So it's not so helpful. This is a little bit of an issue where like, either we can assume like, you know, assume that, you know, I don't know, limited areas, you have limited genetics and like certain things which are biologically very varied, Bismaninu were not as much or whatever. But I'm saying, assuming that he knows, right, which is the assumption that Gemara's making, it's not, right, it's definitely a red flag. Whether or not we think, you know, we have other questions, which is like, okay, well, we have questions on the Gemara's biology. That I think is very legitimate. That's a different topic, right? Assuming the biological assumptions that we're making, right? I think that this is a very much more very compelling explanation of the Takan.
But listen, this, so everything we're talking about, it's all dinim midrabanan. I want to make sure that there's not any faulty biology here. It's like we're not supposed to believe that it's midraisa and it's coming from like, you know, Torah Shebaalpe, you know.
No, first of all, the Gemara gets into like different cases and different examples and different people. The Gemara talks about like, well, there are definitely people, families who, you know, who don't, right? Who don't believe, you know, have dam besulim. I forgot the name. It's like, oh, mishpachas, whatever. Like they never have dam besulim, right?
Wait, but are we talking about dam specifically? When we say he didn't find...
I'm not just talking about dam. Just,
okay,
right. It's I mean, the hymen is more complete, right? And more expansive, the more that breaking it will cause more bleeding, right? Or that it needs to be broken in order for there to be intimacy, right? And it's true, right? And it definitely varies. That's biologically true, right? The question, I think, like, again, the question of the exact metzias, like, that's common in, you know, in Bavel in the, you know, whatever century, is relevant and interesting historically. I don't know how much it's like important for us to go into it. I mean, the Gemara acknowledges that there are different messias. It's not consistent across everybody, right? And discusses like how much is it something that people would know or don't know, right? And that's something that's debated in the Gemara. So we could keep arguing about it. I just think that, right, if the Gemara acknowledges that this is not like an obvious issue, but the idea that it, you know, could be, or assuming that it is, or under the assumption that it is like obvious during Bia Rishona, whether or not she's a Basula, right, if he does know, then this is very relevant, right? And that's the assumption that the Gemara and the Mishnah make. Right. I think that's also things that can change over time, right? With or among groups. So I'm not as bothered by it. I do leave it as a question mark. It is interesting. Like it is a question of like how much, you know, can you, you know, how much is like you say, oh, you know, maybe in a Hanami, like maybe the statistics remain more or less consistent going back or not. Should we assume that, you know, like you change the gene pool and then that changes the statistics or not? And you say, oh, no, the Gemara is, you know, has a debate and they, you know, accepted the side in the debate. That's wrong, you know, or that's like, you know, that's much less frequently correct. That's also possible. That's an interesting question about the Gemara, less so much about the sugya, right? And you can have like, you have machlokas in the Gemara about, do we trust them or not? Would they really know or not? right? That comes up in the Gemara. We could say, well, going back or, you know, looking forward, looking at the medical research, you know, we'd be inclined to say that, you know, they passed in the wrong side. They should have passed in against Shmuel, I think, or whoever, or against Chizda or Huna, whoever it is who thinks that we should trust them or should believe him. But that's, right? But our Gemara is within the assumption that he can't. Right? If we're discussing which one of those two sides is more compelling or we should paskin like, that I think is very relevant to get it to argue about, like, well, how much should we really trust him? But this Gemara is within that assumption.
So when we have a Sanhedrin again, they're going to paskin this from scratch?
I have no idea. Okay. When I'm appointed as Supreme Mugwump of the Sanhedrin, I will let you know. But I don't know. And I don't like doing that. Like, oh, when Sanhedrin comes, they're going to do X, Y, Z. Both because I'm not on it. And two is because, you know, we really don't know. But yeah, I think it's definitely, you know, it's definitely relevant that it's some the sort of thing that they very possibly could revisit. Because, like, it's not really relevant, Bismaninu, right? Like, Halacha L'maisa, I don't think there are any nafkaminas of these dinim Bisman Azeh that we would, like, paskin, right? I don't think we assume that people know Bismaninu, and I think we wouldn't trust you. And we also aren't makbid to be on Wednesday because there's no Yom Kavua for Bezdin to sit either. So halacha l'maisa, this is definitely not a halacha l'maisa sugya. It's just very interesting that that's how the Gemara starts the Masechta, right? That's how the Mishnah starts the Masechta. And for that part, right, there's the sex feka, there's halachic reasons why we shouldn't be concerned about this, right? Even though physically we're assuming that there is a concern, right? But if just because physically we believe him, halachically we should not care because of sex feka, right? And zno slo shchiach. So why is it that we care if halachically we shouldn't care? And I think the answer is because we're dealing with people and the people care, right? And the people are going to be much worse off if they sweep it under the rug, even though halachically that's not really a problem, right? Their long-term prognosis is much worse if they let it fester than if they deal with it now. And by having them go to Beis Din and dealing with it properly, even though, right, 99% chance is Beis Din says case closed for lack of evidence, right? It's only Shema Yitz Yavo Edim. He knows that, oh, if there were Edim, you know, then we would have known. Right? But that, I think that's the central point. Yeah. I think Rachel had a hand up. She has the yellow hand up also.
Oh, yeah. No, I get that. That's right. I didn't know that would be pointed out, but that's true. I did pick the yellow hand.
No. I was just saying that you can change the color?
Oh, maybe not here. I always wonder if people like... you're totally right. You can't. There's only one color here. Sorry.
Raise my hand? Wait, if I'm the person in charge, can I raise my own hand?
Oh, no. You can change the skin tone. Oh, that's the emojis. Okay. Anyways,
I can't raise my own hand. How come I can't raise my hand? Is it because I'm the person in charge? Just because I'm in charge doesn't mean I can't raise my hand.
That's interesting.
The problem.